If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to the book of James, we're going to finish things up here this morning with the last few verses to take a look at here. We're going to hop around in it a little bit. Jesus said to us that out of the overflow of our hearts, our mouths speak. Out of the overflow of our hearts, our mouths speak. And Jesus' words there are just revealing of the sort of what is going on, a window into our hearts, a window into what is going on inside of us is our mouth. If you want to know what's going on with someone, just listen to what they have to say. James tells us that we should be, in 1:19, we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because our anger doesn't produce the righteousness of God, the righteousness that God is looking for. We should all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I have that scripture verse memorized because I have children. And we are instituting a, you know, if they do something mean or whatever, we have a memorized scripture, and we're hoping that that will take care of some problems. But Ellie is one that needs to know about the quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I was watching the kids yesterday, and something happened, and what do you know, Ellie had a quick word and a raised fist, and she was ready to just lay out her brother just like that. And this is a, when she gets tired in school and all that stuff, I'm worried about some boys that might pick on her one day. She'll just lay them out. So we're trying to prevent that from happening, so we're memorizing James 1:19. Let's be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. There's an old proverb, I don't know who to give credit to it for, but God gave us two ears and one mouth, so we should listen twice as much as we speak. That's something that is hard for me because I really like the sound of my voice. And I also think I'm really funny too, which is a dangerous combination. I don't know if you're like me. I have a tendency to put my foot in my mouth. By tendency, I do it every single day. It's just like one of those things that, can I have an embarrassing remark or say something ridiculous? We have young kids in here, so I won't share all of the stories, but you guys probably, if you were here, all remember the time that I meant to say britches and it didn't come out right, if you guys remember that. That was an embarrassing moment. I'm glad that I've got a tame on my tongue, right? You know, I was thinking about how much I put my foot in my mouth, and then I was thinking, well, who's the person that decided that we should say we put our foot in our mouth? Because I don't know if you've tried lately, but I can't actually put my foot in my mouth. Oliver can, and he chews his toenails, and it's the most disgusting thing ever. I don't know what that's all about. It's a vitamin deficiency or something. I'm not sure. But I can't physically do that. And I was thinking, for how often I put my foot in my mouth by saying embarrassing things, I should actually change it. And so I'm thinking, I'm just going to hereby say, from now on, I put bacon in my mouth. Because I do it all the time, and I say embarrassing things all the time. So that's my Jim Gaffigan moment, where I think, you know, I put bacon in my mouth there because I say it all the time. Emily, you know that was funny. She's shaking her head. All right. What's the last thing you said to your spouse? What's the last thing you said to your kids? Michael, Matthew, what's the last thing you said to your brother? All right. I leaned over to Wendy and I told her that I loved her and she did a great job because I knew I was going to ask that question. Now, when it comes to our speech, I think we all wish that we could have a little better taming of the tongue. Who's ever said something that they wish they could just take back and say, man, if I could go back in time and just get a roll of duct tape and wrap it around my face, that would be the best way to go. There's some really hard questions about the things that we say and things that we've done. You guys hired me 9 years ago. You hired a 23-year-old kid. And it says in our text this morning that you should be cautious to become a teacher. The fact that you guys took a 23-year-old kid and let him be your preacher, you guys were downright sinful, and we all need to repent. But just thinking about that, just what I thought I knew and what I obviously didn't. And along the way, I've said an awful lot of things that I wish I could just go back in time and say, boy, I wish I had a do-over. Times when I can remember Helen Zentz, she yelled at me. She said, you don't ever say that again. And you know what? By golly, she was right. I said, if you weren't willing to serve, then you need to get out of here or something like that. If you didn't want to buy into the vision, then, you know, so long, sayonara. And Helen's like, you don't ever uninvite people from church. And I was like, oh, you're right. It's like, and so I have a handful of moments where it's just like, man, I wish I would have said that differently. I wish I would have handled it differently. There's people who are not here because of something I've said. The hard part of that is there may be people who are not here because of something you said. We're all in this thing together. And James has some incredibly important wisdom for each and every single one of us about our speech. I was introduced to this text a very long time ago because I was riding on the school bus and I learned a new word. And there was an opportunity presented to me from my older brother, who was an absolute jerk face at the time, because he traded me Hot Wheels. I thought I was getting the best Hot Wheel ever, and it was the Lamborghini. It was his best car, and I traded some car I didn't care about anymore, and my brother gave me the Lamborghini. And he held it just right, so I didn't know that the back wheels were all busted and bent up. And he was bigger than me, so as soon as we made the trade, it was over. And I described the vehicle by using the new word that I discovered. And it was a made-up word, and there's little kids in here. Otherwise, I would tell it to you. So if we're ever together and you want to know what the word is, I'll tell you what it is because it's really funny. But, I used it totally wrong and out of context. But my mother flipped out, as she should have, and sent me to my room. And my dad, he brought this passage before me. And he said, son, you need to sit down. We need to read this. And he read this to me. And I didn't have a clue what it meant. I just knew that I was in trouble for swearing and using a word that I wasn't supposed to use. And I never swore again after that. If you believe that, I got a lot of things to sell you. Anyways, James chapter 3. Let's go ahead and hop there. James tells us that we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. If you have a problem with using your tongue in the wrong way and a speech problem of bringing hurt and harm to others, of not always saying the things that you want to say, then James has an awful lot of wisdom for us this morning. In James chapter 3, it says, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers and sisters, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. I think he will get into why it's so important for us to be cautious and quick to become teachers. He says, we all stumble in many ways. Those who are never at fault in what they say are perfect. And the Greek word there is teleos, which means complete. If you've gotten all of your speech figured out, you're complete. You're completely moral. You got it all taken care of. Those who are never at fault in what they say are perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. He goes on to illustrate the power of our speech, the power of our words. He uses a few different illustrations. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder whenever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person. It sets the whole course of one's life on fire, as is itself set on fire by Gehenna, by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by human beings, but no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. James' opening point, I think, is very simply, we should be cautious to be and cautious in becoming teachers because of the power that's behind the human tongue, behind our language. Just think about how powerful words have been in your own life. Have you ever had someone say something to you and you've never forgotten it because of how badly it hurt you? James is simply illustrating the point in a variety of different ways. A horse can be steered, an animal can be steered and tamed in one direction. It's controlled by its mouth. But our speech is like a spark of fire, and it can take out a whole forest. You think about the damage done by a small fire in California and how much damage it's brought in its wake because of one word. Think about the sort of things that happen in all of our lives, and just think about in the political world and the words that are shared and the sort of disarray and all of that. We understand very much the power of a harsh word. Now, while you might very well remember someone who's spoken something harsh to you, do you remember someone just coming up alongside you, putting their arm around you, saying, you know what, you're doing all right and everything will be okay? Can you remember those times too? And friends, I think James' point is that we should be slow to become teachers because of the power of our speech. And until you have listened long enough, you really don't have anything to say. When I think about this text, I have in the back of my mind always being quick to listen and slow to speak, slow to become angry. Have you ever been in trouble for listening too much? Sometimes with Wendy, I pretend I'm listening, and that gets me in trouble. But when you're really genuinely listening, and Wendy knows when I'm not listening because I have my iPad and I'm playing whatever the new game I'm supposed to be playing and Pokemon going. I haven't done that, but that's I'm relevant, I'm hip, I'm cool. Thanks, guys. When we are quick to listen and slow to speak, we have something then actually to say, something actually that we know what's going on in someone's life. James is speaking about the power of our speech. And we know, and so he illustrates it in three different ways. And so he compares it then to looking at our lives. If we look at, with the tongue we praise our Lord and our Father, and with him we also curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about being double-minded, about saying a prayer and not believing it, about reading God's word and not obeying it. Well, we can also have double-minded speech where we praise God on Sunday and then we say crude things on Monday. He says, brothers, this shouldn't be. This isn't how we were created to be. Jesus says, out of the overflow of our hearts, our mouths speak. When he says that, he's talking about in the context of a good tree can't bear bad fruit and a bad tree can't bear good fruit. It's the why, and so what Jesus is saying is if we would go to work on our hearts, if we would think about what's going on inside us, then maybe our speech would be a little bit different. I asked you to think about what's the last thing you said to people before you came in here. It's a window into your heart, the words that you say and how you say them. Was the last thing you said a critical remark about someone, or was it something encouraging? Was it just informative, or was it something that you really could have handled a little bit differently? How did your speech go this week with people with whom you work and spend your life with? Was everything you had to say to your kids helpful and beneficial and encouraging, guiding, caring for them? Out of the overflow of our hearts, our mouths speak. And it's Dallas Willard who says, if we tend to the tree, the fruit will take care of itself. I find a lot of times that my speech isn't always what I want it to be when I haven't taken the time to really spend time in the Word of God and be working on my heart. If I want the words that are coming out of my heart to be good, then I need to spend time with the good Lord. I hope that makes sense. I think we agree with that. The trick is actually doing it. All of us can agree that speech is powerful. We can remember the time that someone said something critical to us. We can remember a time when someone said something encouraging. Our speech is powerful. It can devastate a whole forest, is how James compares it. How can we have better speech? What can we do differently? If you hop down to James chapter 5, starting in verse 12, we have a few ideas as to what we could do differently. Here are some ways that we can speak. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. James is highlighting something from the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. People would make a habit of swearing by something so that you would believe in them. And Jesus says, hey, you don't need to swear by something. It's not like he's saying you can't cuss. You guys can still cuss. That's okay. He's saying that we can't swear by, okay, I swear by we would say as kids, my mother's grave or my grandma's grave or whatever. We would make that so people would believe us. And James says we should let our yes be yes and our no be no. We don't need to swear by anything if our character follows what we're actually saying. So have integrity in what we say. If you say yes, you're going to do something, follow through. If you say no, then mean it. So then he goes on further. So let your yes be yes and your no be no. Is anyone among you in trouble? Here's what you should say. Let them pray. Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is any among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make them well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, use your speech this way too. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring them back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the way of error will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. I see James offering practical wisdom throughout it as to what our speech should be. We should pray for God's help. We should pray on behalf of others. We should pray for the sick. We should confess our sins to each other. And tagged onto that is this mention of the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. As it stands, you can leave here this morning with two different voices. You can leave with a selfish voice or a selfless one. You can leave with offering words of encouragement, or you can be critical and do whatever it is that we so often do. We may never tame our tongue completely, but the word is always this, that our speech is powerful. Your speech is powerful, and the things you say and everything that you do each and every day, the words that come out of your mouth are powerful and they have a weight to it, and they are like a spark that can set a whole forest on fire. And so my question to you this morning would be, how do you want to use your speech for good? And James lays it out perfectly. It's right there in the text. It says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I have an exciting thing to share with you. We're not out of the woods yet, and still a long journey, but prayers have been answered. It has been a very hard couple of weeks for Brian and Jill Everett. We know that Brian has cancer. We know that the chemotherapy, the trial drug that they went on, caused a great deal of inflammation in his lungs, and because of that, rendered his lungs pretty much useless. He was only using just the uppermost part of his lung capacity. So just moving would just wipe him out, and he didn't have any energy whatsoever. He came home from the hospital with oxygen, and he had to have oxygen. Otherwise, he just wasn't going to be able to be at home. And this week, we've been praying, and I know that we've been praying earnestly, and folks have been coming to the house. We scraped the bottom of the barrel. We had Max there, and he was really great, Brian. And I came in, and Brian and Max were yapping to each other, and they were talking about all kinds of things. And Linda and I just looked at each other and was like, what are we going to do with these two? But folks, you stepped up and you said, you know, we can come and we can be a part of this journey with Jill and Brian. And I know that Brian has been lifted in prayer, and this week Jill was able to not only take him to the ice cream social, which I think that had a lot of good for him, but then she was able to take him off oxygen for 2 hours without his numbers decreasing. Friends, you have an option with the way you would use your speech. You have an option whether or not you will choose to use powerful words to tear people down, or if you'll use powerful and effective words to lift people up and encourage them and love them. And that's the heart to me of being a Christian. You have powerful words, and every single one of us could have a confession together of saying, you know what, I wish I could go back and say this differently. We all have those moments, but there is redemption for us, there's mercy, there is forgiveness for us, because we can make a decision today about what our words will be for tomorrow. Your prayer is powerful and effective. And it brings help, and it brings strength, and it brings encouragement to people who are in need. Friends, you have an option of how you will use your speech. And James offers a mighty and wonderful encouragement to teach us that our words are powerful. They are effective. And so let's go before the Lord, because we have that privilege, we have that joy that we can go before the Lord in prayer for Him. What do you say? How do you want to use your speech this week? I will happily take all criticisms and file them away in the circular file in my office. There's times to be critical. There is. But friends, I find that there's always important to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Will you make a commitment this week to be quick to listen to your kids, quick to listen to your spouse, quick to listen to your coworkers, quick to listen to your friends, quick to listen to the stranger, and slow to speak, so you know what to say? Will you make a commitment to come up alongside people that you know are having a hard time and say, you know what? I'd love to have coffee with you and be of some kind of encouragement. It's amazing how much, guys, just talk to you for a second. It's amazing how much I can see a young kid, a young boy, just feel so much better about himself. If I just say, hey man, how's it going? And you look him in the eye and you just pat him on the back and say, hey, you're a good boy. Give him a little noogie on the head. Mike Zent still does it to me today. It makes me feel like $1 million. We have an awesome responsibility to speak love and truth to young men. Boys still in school, you are a model and example to young kids at the elementary. You walk in, Reese, to gym class, and they're going to think you're the coolest kid ever. We know better, but see how quick? Taming the tongue. I'm still working on it. But you get to speak just truth and love to those kids. You got an opportunity to minister. We all have that opportunity. Older women to younger women, especially young women who are trying to raise their kids and they feel like they don't do anything right. Instead of telling them about how it was when you were little, just tell them you're praying for them. Just tell them to hang in there, it gets better. Tell them you can't kill them, because then you don't get grandbabies. Just remind them. Speak words of encouragement to each other. You should leave this place feeling better about who you are because Christ loves you, and people should speak truth and love to each and every one of you as you leave this place. I think you should be happy that you're a part of church this morning. I think also you might want to be convicted about sin as well. But shouldn't you speak words of truth to people? Words of encouragement and love. We all have the responsibility. We all have something that we could do differently, say differently. So what do you think? Let's be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Let's try and walk in truth and love with one another and encourage each other. Build one another up in love. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. God, we know that we are very much a work in progress. None of us are complete. God, that we don't always say the right thing. And that is evident by the simple fact that you've allowed me the privilege to be a preacher. God, to be a teacher of your word. God, you know in my own life of how many times I have said the wrong thing or an embarrassing thing or just plain made a real awkward situation for people all the time. But God, you also know of the times in which I have brought others down. God, that I want to make people feel the way I feel. And God, our tendency to hurt with our words is so easy when we're feeling down about ourselves, when we're feeling selfish or envious, when we have things going on inside us. And God, for each and every one of us this morning, including myself, help us to see the window into our hearts by the things that we say. God, to know what's going on inside of us, to know that we need your help, we need your strength, we need your forgiveness. God, for all the times that we've said something that we wish we could take back, and it's just out there. Embarrassing and dumb things, and then also just crude and just jerk things that we've said. God, we don't want that to be our story, and we know that through you, you redeem us, you've saved us, you've forgiven us. God, as we repent of those things, God, we want to make this week and the following days all about being quick to listen and slow to speak. And God, as we seek to listen first, help us this week to lean on your Spirit, that we would know what to say next, that we would know how to speak to our kids and speak love and guide them and treat them the way they deserve to be treated. God, that we would treat our spouses well and in loving kindness and respect. God, that we would be quick to listen to our spouses and understand their needs. And for those others, God, through this week, as they would be quick to listen in their relationship with their friends and their family, God, that we would be quick to listen in our work and with our coworkers. God, that in all of our conversations, they would be seasoned with your grace, with your love. God, we love you, and we praise you, and we thank you that you sent your Son, and he spoke the words of truth. God, that we would have salvation in him. Lead your church this week, Lord. We humbly come before you. Help us to leave more encouraged than we left, ready to do a better job about speaking truth and kindness in all that we do. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Will you stand with us?